Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important, to the fastest growing, and indeed now the largest segment of society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. When we began this program, I assumed that our audience would be small, mainly because what we had to say assails all of these human institutions, both political parties here in America as well as those worldwide, every religion, the deployment of militaries, economic malfeasance, as well as hideously errant and misleading media reporting. And then along the way, we learned that we were in the majority. Now, that does not mean that media institutions are willing to acknowledge that they've lost track of their listeners. But nonetheless, that's true. It's why shows like Rush Limbaugh that grew so quickly are now losing audience at a rapid rate. It's why the Hannity program is losing its audience so rapidly. The largest segment of society are those like us that know that these human institutions, whether they be political or religious, military or economic, that they can't be fixed, that they aren't worth their time, and that most certainly they are not worthy of their affinity. Our phone number, if you're one of the millions who agree, if you understand that there is a better choice, and you want to participate in this discussion, our number is 877-300-7645. You don't have to be a prophet to be able to predict the future. It was obvious that the fake video showing James Foley's alleged assassination was going to be used by the Obama administration to do what Barack Hussein Obama has wanted to do for a very long time, to start his own war. Now, that's not to say that he hasn't engaged in war. This president has broken Libya. He made the decision to bomb the Libyan government. The result, of course, now is complete anarchy. Libya now, even the U.S. embassy, is under the control of terrorist groups. The American diplomatic personnel have had to flee the country. It is a hellhole, all as a result of Barack Hussein Obama's stupidity in arming Mujahideen, thinking that they were freedom fighters as opposed to fundamentalist Muslims, and then bombing the government. Well, he wants to do the same thing in Syria, has wanted to for a long time. He was extraordinarily angry at Vladimir Putin when Putin came up with a plan of removing the chemical and biological weapons from Syria, precluding the justification of bombing Syria, which is what he had sent the U.S. Navy and positioned them to accomplish. He's never forgotten Putin for denying him the war that he so badly craved. And now we find that he has created a war in the Ukraine, one that's killed 3,000 people, all because the American administration, the American State Department, the American CIA has orchestrated a gang of thugs to replace the popularly elected government of the Ukraine, caused the Ukraine to be now wholly dependent on Western handouts of tens of billions of dollars. And we have motivated the Ukraine, orchestrated their attack on their own people using the military that America is funding against those who want no part of them in a civil war, all the while putting sanctions on and blaming Putin for the very things that we're guilty of doing. And so that now that he has pushed Putin into a corner, the American malfeasance and misdirection, he's in a position to have his war, all based on a fake assassination. Now, do I know for certain that James Foley is still alive? Nope, I don't. But I can tell you the video claiming to represent his assassination was a fraud. And as I predicted, Obama is now positioning America to intervene in yet another country that we will make a bad situation worse. And in Syria, there are just evil sides. The Assad regime is evil. The Mujahideen that America has been arming directly and indirectly over these last 3 years is even worse. And as so many people have been led to believe that we should always support the lesser of two evils, when evil is this grotesque, there is no lesser of two evils. There is nothing we can do in Syria, just as there was nothing we could do in Iraq. The United States invaded Iraq based on a pile of lies. I watched the opening of McLean Stadium for Baylor football last night on television, and I saw the ugliness of King George II tossing the opening coin. And I thought of all of the lies that he deployed to engage America in that war, all of which were known to be untrue at the time that he was using them to justify the war that he so badly craved. You think of the Americans who have sacrificed their lives, the taxpayers who have sacrificed their savings, the country that has lost its international footing, prestige, and moral compass, all over that failed war that has made a very bad situation in Iraq infinitely worse. And now, our answer is to re-engage and to begin bombing all over again, re-breaking the country that we broke 13 years ago. The New York Times is reporting that the Obama administration is debating a more robust intervention in Syria. This was a little over a week ago that they published this article. There was no debate, and they knew it. The Obama administration had decided they were going to intervene in Syria. It was just now a matter of doing so in a way that made the Obamanator look like an international statesman leading a coalition of countries. Unfortunately, he is unable to put together a coalition of countries, because no one wants to touch this with a 10-foot pole. This is a religious war. It is a war between Sunnis and Shias. Very few countries want to engage in the middle of a civil war that's being fought on purely religious grounds. And those who have an axe to grind want America destroyed on both sides. This says including possible American airstrikes. That's not possible. That's exactly what they're trying to accomplish. They just don't have a plan, nor do they have any countries willing to ally with America's effort. In a significant escalation of its weeks-long military assault on the Islamic extremist group that has destabilized neighboring Iraq and killed an American journalist, officials said Friday. They didn't kill the American journalist. It's not just destabilized Iraq. Iraq is completely broken. Iraq was completely broken the moment America invaded. We broke it. It has never been together since we broke it. Iraq is a combination now of completely ununifiable Kurds, Zoroastrians, Shia Muslims, and Sunni Muslims. I would have said Christians, of which there were 1.3 million at the time we invaded, but there are none left. They have been annihilated, all because of the American invasion. Makes you want to cry. How badly we have messed up Iraq. And now our solution is to bomb once again. Well, President Obama has long resisted being drawn into Syria's bloody civil war. That's an outright lie. It's amazing the New York Times has journalists either that prejudiced or that ignorant. He hasn't long resisted being drawn into the Syria's bloody war. He has wanted to engage. He has signed executive orders through the CIA to supply billions of dollars worth of weapons to the Mujahideen in Syria. And he positioned America's Navy so that they could bomb Syria over a year ago and were thwarted from doing so because of the peacekeeping maneuver of Vladimir Putin, keeping the world out of World War III. Officials said recent advances by the Islamic State had made clear that it represents a threat to the interests of the United States and its allies. It's not clear, and it's not true. The Islamic State is a threat to the Syrian government. It's a threat to the Saudi Arabian government, even though the Sauds have been their second most important benefactor. It is a threat to Jordan, which they have yet to invade, but will. It is a threat to Lebanon. It is a threat to Israel, but only marginally so, or marginally more so than the Assad regime. It is a threat to Iran and to its control over Iraq. It isn't a threat to anyone else. Now, it is true that after the Islamic militants prevail in Syria and continue to prevail in western and northern Iraq, even southern Iraq, that they will, as well as most of Syria, that they will become the catalyst for an invasion of Israel. That is a serious problem. But the United States doesn't care about Israel. It hasn't for a very long time. Proof of that is the fact the United States sells 25 times more sophisticated weapons to Israel's foes than it does to Israel itself. So this has nothing to do with the United States and its allies. We'll be back. It's amazing that America claims that Mujahideen in northern Africa and in the Middle East pose a threat to the United States and its allies. And how do they figure? You know, if you've got a journalist over there that's taking pictures, and let's say that he actually was killed, so what? He chose to be there to photograph all of this. He knew the risks. It's not America's job to go to war just because a journalist is killed. And that's stupid. And yes, it is true that after the jihadists prevail in Syria, and after they've prevailed more in Iraq and in Jordan and neighboring countries, there will ultimately be a time where some of the Mujahideen go back to the countries from which they've come. And it's probably 1,000 that have left America. Several thousand that have left the United Kingdom. Perhaps 10,000 more throughout Europe. And they're going to return, and they're going to be fundamentalist Islamic jihadists. And they're going to perpetrate heinous terrorist acts. That's what they do. But fighting them in Syria, or fighting them in Iraq, isn't going to resolve the issue. You cannot resolve the problem of Islamic terrorism without declaring war on Islam, and you can't beat a religious foe with bullets and bombs. And the obvious has been true for so long. It's amazing that the population of America and Europe are so ignorant of Islam, so universally stupid when it comes to the nature of this religion, that they actually believe that America is fighting a war against terrorism and not against Islam. And yet that is the foe. And so long as Islam is tolerated, so long as we We don't quarantine Islam. So long as we continue to fund Islam through OPEC, so long as we continue to fight this religious foe stupidly, which is to bomb them, which manufactures 100 of them for every one we kill, all it does is play into their hands. They want a fight. And the only fight that will be effective against them is one waged with words, reason. Cite the Quran and Hadith against them. Demonstrate that Muhammad was repulsive, that he was a pedophile, that he was incestuous, that he was a rapist, that he was a slave trader, that he was a kidnapper for ransom, that he was a mass murderer, and that he claimed victory through terrorism, and he led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. Demonstrate that the Quran is the worst book ever written. Use the Islamic scriptures against the religion. That's all you need to do. It's lethal. But no, we pretend that there's no correlation between Islam and the Islamic State. And we continue to do the wrong thing. The beheading of James Foley, the New York Times writes, the American journalist has contributed to what officials call a new context. I told you that's what was going to happen. That's how they're using it. They know it's a fake. They know that video is a fake. The United States government absolutely knows it's a fake. They know it's a fake for different reasons than I know it's a fake. They know it's a fake because there's two people, not one, standing behind him, that the knife never cuts his throat, that the head was photoshopped on top of his body. They know that there were two different knives in the scene, that the final beheading picture was a picture, not part of the video. They know it was a fake. They've got billions of dollars worth of analysts and capabilities to demonstrate that it was a fake. They know it was not true. Now, I know it was a fake because that thing was not like the other things. I've watched hundreds of Islamic beheadings, and there wasn't any aspect of that beheading that was consistent with the many hundreds I've seen that were all consistent, except this one. There's no such thing as an Islamic beheading that fades to black as the agony begins. There's no such thing as an Islamic beheading that takes place without screaming, Allahu Akbar, the Islamic prayer of fear. It was a fake, but it's providing a new context to go to war. Officials said the options include speeding up and intensifying limited American efforts to train and arm moderate Syrian rebel forces that have been fighting both IS, the Islamic State, and the government of President Bashar al-Assad. That is a complete myth. There are no moderate Syrian rebels. There never have been. There never will be. It is a myth that is being promoted by Hillary for her presidential aspirations. BNF's, the New York Times, has another option, because, of course, the first option is not an option, which is to speed up and intensify limited American efforts to train and arm moderate rebel forces. There is no such thing. And all you really need to know is Islam, to know there will never be such a thing. There has never been a moderate Muslim. There will never be a moderate Muslim. To be a Muslim is to be a jihadist. It's to be a terrorist. It's not my definition. I don't say it to be hurtful. I say it as a matter of fact. Read the first 9 surahs of the Quran. The 9th surah in particular, as well as the 5th, leave no doubt whatsoever that it's impossible to be a peace-loving, non-jihadist Muslim. The 9th surah says that if a Muslim does not want to engage in jihad, which is fighting with all manner of weapons, killing non-Muslims, then they cease to be a Muslim. So, according to the Quran, which is the only document that ought to matter in this debate, it is absolutely impossible to be a moderate Muslim. And in the civil war in Syria, the Christians are not engaged. they're on the side of Assad, but they're not fighting because they know that with Assad, they live miserable lives. Without Assad, they don't live. They die. And so all you've got is Muslims, nothing but Muslims. And a Muslim that takes up arms is not a peaceful Muslim. According to the Quran, there are no peaceful Muslims. It is an absolute, complete, and utter myth. The same myth that we assumed existed in Iraq when Petraeus and George Bush came up with the stupid, harebrained idea of the awakening program during the surge and arming what they said were moderate Sunnis to take on Al-Qaeda never occurred. Oh, we armed the Sunnis, but now those Sunnis are the Islamic State. We provided them their weapons. No one to blame but ourselves. And it was imminently predictable. The day the program was announced, I said, this will be the outcome. You know, there is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. We made the same mistake in Libya, claiming that we were going to provide weapons and bomb on behalf of the moderate Muslims so that they would be independent and have democracy. And all we have now is a civil war between various Islamic Mujahideen groups. We can't continue to make this mistake. There is no such thing and never will be a moderate Muslim, a peaceful Muslim, ever. Another option, they say, would be to bolster other partners on the ground to take on the Islamic State, including Syrian Kurds. Yeah, we're trying that. That's just great. You've got this lip service that says we're only going to engage in Iraq if Iraq is unified, all one cohesive unit. And at the same time, we're providing an army worth of weapons to the Kurds, who have only one interest, which is their own independent state. You can't have both. I guess you can in the make-believe world of abomination. But this is the same kind of stupidity that America practiced in World War II, where we decided that we would ally with Stalin, who was worse than Hitler. And what did we end up with? Left Europe worse than we found it. We did the same thing with Mao Zedong in China while we were fighting the Japanese, and ended up leaving Asia worse than we found it. We continue to make these stupid mistakes of thinking providing weapons to those who have an interest in and opposing those that we oppose is somehow going to work out. And it never does. It always makes a bad situation worse. You don't achieve peace by giving those who crave death weapons. I mean, the Kurds' militancy, the Kurds' Mujahideen, they're named Embrace Death. Muslims have no reason to live, only a reason to die. It's the only way that they're afforded access to the Islamic brothel known as the Islamic paradise, is to die killing non-Muslims. That's why Hamas is so ruthless. It's why the so-called Palestinians died in such numbers in the Hamas-Israeli war that just ended. Because they want to die. It's the highest calling in their religion. They crave death. You don't give weapons to people who crave death and expect a rational outcome. American officials said that they would also take a look at airstrikes by fighter jets, which is precisely what they're planning to do. They just are trying to, A, come up with a strategy that would prevail, and there is none. It will only make matters worse. And, B, to find other nations willing to participate, and they can't find any at this point. So it doesn't look like we're doing it alone. As well as potentially sending special operation forces into Syria. Oh, that would be so stupid. like those who tried to rescue Mr. Foley and other hostages on a mission in July. One possibility officials have discussed for Iraq could be translated to Syria would be a series of unmanned drone strikes targeting Islamic State leaders, much like those conducted in Yemen, Somalia, in Pakistan. And how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? They live in highly populated civilian settings. It's like Israel's challenge of trying to take out Hamas leaders. Yeah, you can take out some of their leaders. But when you do, you're going to kill scores of civilians in the process. You're going to cause Muslims around the world to hate you because of what you did. And those leaders that are killed are replaced in 15 minutes. You can't win that way. You know, the American drone attacks in Yemen, Somalia, and Pakistan have enraged Muslims and have caused the rapid growth in the Mujahideen. Had we not done so, the amount of animosity towards America in the Islamic world, the number of jihadists joining their forces would be de minimis by comparison to what has occurred because of that stupidity. Muslims are stunningly arrogant. Their machismo, this sense of superiority, is overzealous. And for a country to oppose them using drones, as opposed to being man enough to fight them mano a mano, is such a disgrace, such an insult, that it enrages them. I am telling you, and all of the testimony from Muslims in this part of the world affirms, that our use of drones, while it has killed 4,000 Muslims, about half of whom are just civilians, it has created 10 times that number of Mujahideen. This quote, "If you come after Americans, we're going to come after you wherever you are," Benjamin J. Rhodes, the president deputy national security advisor, told reporters in Martha Vineyard, where Obama was on a much interrupted vacation. Remember, I told you this was a little over a week ago that this article from the New York Times was published. That's the pretext. You come after Americans, you killed an American. Well, they didn't. But why is killing one American a justification for going to war? I mean, even if they killed the President of the United States, why would that be a justification for going to war? You know, it reminds me of the stupidity of the Pacific Theater in World War II. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, killed some 3,000 servicemen and women in Pearl Harbor. Military attack on a military installation. So we went off and sacrificed some 300,000 Americans to kill some millions of Japanese. Why was sending hundreds of thousands of Americans to their death to kill millions of Japanese civilians an effective response? How was that a moral response? We really just don't get it as a country anymore. We're fed so much propaganda. And because of the wholesale integration of political correctness, we're exercising good judgment is considered inappropriate. We as a nation just can't figure out what's right and what's wrong. We're clueless. We become grotesquely immoral as a nation. Even if they killed Foley, which they didn't in that video, as a journalist, as a photojournalist, why would that cause America to justify a new war? Particularly after we got our clock cleaned in Korea, in Vietnam, in Somalia, in Libya, in Afghanistan, and in Iraq. Every time we have engaged, we've lost. Why do this again? Of course, the old line that resonates with a few of us is the best example of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. America has become insane. You ought not support the U.S. government, its military, its political leaders, both sides of the aisle, from John McClown to the abomination, are equally guilty of grotesque immorality and insanity in this regard. There is absolutely nothing we can do in Syria or in Iraq to make the situation better. And it is our previous actions that made it worse. It's time that we recognize that there isn't an answer for many things that we think we need to oppose. The White House said we're actively considering what's going to be necessary to deal with that threat, and we're not going to be restricted by borders, end quote. And that's the American attitude. The whole world is ours. You know, no one else can intervene any place, and we can intervene every place. We're not going to be restricted to borders. Oh, how I wish we had paid attention to Thomas Jefferson, who warned us that the establishment of a military was the greatest threat to freedom. And that we only had honored the Second Amendment, making it impossible for anyone to invade and occupy this country, guaranteeing our freedom without a military. Oh, how much better off we would be today. The American operation against the Islamic State in Syria would expand the scope and goals of the military intervention Mr. Obama ordered in Iraq several weeks ago. At the time, the president said he authorized airstrikes to defend American personnel and prevent the genocide of religious minorities threatened by the Islamic State. Well, the fact is that there was no genocide other than the Christians, and we didn't respond to protect the Christians. We responded to protect the Zoroastrians. And even when we did, we were played for fools. There were none of them to rescue. Now a bunch of shepherds on top of the mountain that we were so certain we were sending in the special forces to do their thing, but now they're very well fed and watered and thankful for the hundreds of thousands of MREs we provided the shepherds with. But they said, thank you very much. We've herded our sheep on this mountain for as long as we can remember, and we have no interest in going anywhere. Mission creep. It was obvious it was going to occur, and it has occurred. He has also ordered strikes to help Iraq's government reclaim control of the vital Mosul Dam from the Islamic State. There's really questions as to who controls the Mosul Dam and even why it was worth controlling. And the fact is that it sits above Mosul, which is a Sunni city. It's the city that the Islamic State captured. There was a 0% chance that they were going to bomb the dam while they controlled it. Now, to thwart the American response, which is to arm the Kurds and to bomb on behalf of the Kurds, there's every motivation in the world for them to blow up the dam. But while they control Mosul, while they control the dam, that's the source of electricity for their largest metropolitan center and the base of their operation. It was stupid, counterproductive, presented as a great success of this new strategy, touted as that's the pattern that we ought to follow. Except the Kurds have no interest in fighting any place else other than just the north. They're not going to go into Syria. And beyond all of that, it was actually counterproductive. Sending American warplanes or drones to cross the border into Syria would mean that the Abominator was now taking the mission of degrading or even crippling the Islamic State. there's a 0% chance that bullets and bombs will cripple the Islamic State. Could they degrade it? Yeah, but at that point, what are we doing? We're using American weapons to destroy American weapons. Somewhere along there, economically, that really strikes me as being foolish. And yet you hear these, someone says, common sense says, we ought not have engaged in Iraq in the first place. But common sense suggests you need to hit them in Syria, said Stephen Simon, a White House advisor to Mr. Obama on the Middle East, you moron. No, common sense says that we stop hitting them. By hitting them, we have created them. There was no Islamic State in Iraq prior to the American invasion. We conceived them because of that invasion. They were born out of that invasion. No invasion, no Islamic State in Iraq. Because we provided weapons to the Sunni warlords and the awakening program, we further empowered them. Then when we began to provide weapons to the Sunni Mujahideen fighting Assad in Syria, we provided ever more weapons. We've manufactured this enemy. There are responsibility. Common sense says we ought to stop arming them. We ought to stop hitting them. Do the opposite of what we have been doing, because what we have been doing has caused them to grow. Wake up, Stephen Simon, and your boss, the Obaminator.